Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing through Shalom Home, through Rainbow Mike, through his new fiance. Actually, he proposed in our church to his new fiance last time we were able to spend time with him. And God, we pray a blessing over them. God, we pray that these kids that they're impacting right now would come to know the joy of Jesus. And Father, we ask right now as we spend time intentionally listening to your words, that you would speak into our life. I want to ask you, if you're joining us online, if you're in the overflow room right now or in this room, if you'd pray for me, pray that my words would be empowered by the Spirit of God, that he would use me as a conduit today. And then invite God to speak into your life. Some of you are really hurting. Some of you, if you were being honest with the person next to you, don't even really believe God exists. If that's you, we're so excited that you're with us today. You're welcome. Just say, God, if you're real, speak into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 13. If you're new to the Bible, it's like a long way through for me. It's in the New Testament. It's the last history book we have in the New Testament. As you're turning there, I want to bring up right now Miss Tammy Schriever. Tammy serves in our children's ministry right after we did children's dedication. And she is with us this morning because Mark Fansler is on a trip with his family. And Tammy and her husband Brian have been in the church for 12 years. She is a designer and also a lettering artist. And she's going to use the gift that God has given her to let us see with our eyes what we're hearing with our ears. So Tammy, thanks for joining us this morning. I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of a map of the world. Inside of that rectangle on the map, some two-thirds of the world population lives. It's called by missionaries the 1040 window. Some 4.4 billion people live there. And 90% of them have never heard the good news of Jesus. Never. I remember being on a trip several years ago. My interpreter's name was Deepak. Deepak was leading me through the streets of Kathmandu. And as Deepak was leading me through Kathmandu, I started to smell something that I never remember smelling before. It was strong and it stunk. And I asked Deepak, "What is that?" He said, "I'm not going to tell you. It'll get stronger as we get closer." And so we got closer, and there was this big temple in Kathmandu. The Hindus and the Buddhists have really kind of come together to bring a kind of a merged religion. And he walked us past the temple, and there was this river, and along the river there were platforms. And on these platforms, at different heights, there were these fires. And I said, "What are they burning?" And he said, "Bodies." Now, not bodies that had been alive beforehand. But in Kathmandu, if you're part of this temple, after your loved one dies, depending on how much money you give to the temple, they'll place you on a platform. And then after your body burns, they push you off into the river. And I remember sitting there smelling and watching body after body burned and pushed into the river that had never heard the good news of Jesus. No one they knew had ever come alongside of them and said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to come and live a life perfect. He was fully God, fully man. and come and be the perfect sacrifice without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. To die in your place. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And body after body pushed into the river. I remember asking Deepak, can I speak with one of the priests of this temple? And he said, yes, I think we could probably arrange that. And so he went and talked to some people and said, I found one. And so went over, and this man had been on the platform. He had real dark eyes, I remember that, eyes that looked hazy to me. And I asked him through Deepak, the interpreter, said, what is the hope that you give your people? And he said, we don't have any future hope. These are his words through Deepak. We don't have any future hope. We try to help people find peace in the now. And it broke my heart. Body pushed into the river. After body. Now, wouldn't Jesus fix that if he could? He can. And he has a plan. This is what Jesus said at the beginning of Acts. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. Thank goodness it's not just our strength, right? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness tells people what they've seen and experienced. You're going to tell people, you're going to be my witnesses. You've come to know me as Savior and Lord. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus, before he went back up into heaven, he told his followers, you're going to be my witnesses. Now, we talk a lot about being witnesses in Jerusalem here in our church. At the end of every service, we'll say it again today. We say, go love your what? Neighbor, that's what we say. Go love your neighbor. We believe that God has called you. If you are here in McKinney, that this is your Jerusalem, he's called you to be a witness. That your job, students, in your school is no less important than my job here at church. That God has called you, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be a witness in your workplace, to be a witness in your Jerusalem. And it says all Judea and Samaria. Now, the first 12 chapters of Acts, we've watched the gospel spread from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. Today, in Acts chapter 13, we're going to see the gospel for the first time pushed to the ends of the earth through people who've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. But now here's the tension. We're in McKinney. Leroy was pointing out to me this week, notice it says here in the verse, not Jerusalem or, it says Jerusalem what? And all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wait a second. How can I be two places at once? If I believe, and maybe you believe, now I think some of you in the room, God is called to go somewhere else. But I think most of you, God's called to be here. How do we be two places? How's this plan? Does God really want me to be part of the people on the other side of the earth that don't know Jesus, hear about Jesus? Yes, every person in this room, he wants you to be part of it. Here's the big question I want us to talk about. How do we share Jesus in McKinney and on the other side of the world? Y'all with me? The text is going to answer it. Stand with me and read just the first three verses of Acts chapter 13. Stand up with me to honor the word of God. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said,
set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Lord, help us see what your word says. Amen. You can be seated. All right, I want to just walk with you through these verses, and this is super exciting. Because you, if you're in McKinney, if you see what God's plan was through the church today, get to be part of what God is doing in McKinney and on the other side of the planet. Here we go. Now, there were in the church at Antioch, this is not Big C Church, not the church around the world now. This is a local church, the church at Antioch, leaders, prophets, and teachers. Now, in our church, we're a local church. There are leaders. Now, they call them prophets and teachers. Now, he's going to list off these leaders. Barnabas, if you know his history, came from an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. He was an encourager. Simeon, who was called Niger, the word Niger literally is a Latin word meaning black. And many commentary writers think he may have been from Nigeria in southern Africa. Lucius of Cyrene, which that's northern Africa. Wait, the leaders, they look different. They're from a lot of different places. Yes, keep going. Manaid, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Now, this is not Herod who died at the end of chapter 12. This is his uncle. But he was a leader in Rome, lived in Rome. He was like in the Roman government. So one of the church leaders was like Roman royalty, or like he hung with these guys. And Saul, where was Saul from? Anybody know? Tarsus, yes, in Asia Minor. So here we have in this local church people from all over. Right? Different ethnicities, different backgrounds politically, culturally, financially, religiously, very diverse. I don't think it's coincidental that in Antioch they were first called Christians, because if you're looking for a commonality, it's almost like they had no commonality other than Christ. And because they had Christ, they had all things in common. The church in the world is the most diverse organism, period. We want to study what's going on through the church. But was it enough? Was it enough that God had brought the nations to Antioch in their church? And God has brought the nations to McKinney. Y'all know that. The nations are in McKinney. Is it enough that they were diverse there? No. Keep going with me. While they were worshiping the Lord, we're going to get to do something in worship today that's really cool. We're going to get to do what we see happen in this text. While they were worshiping the Lord, and what's the word? Fasting. Fasting is really dedicating yourself to prayer on such a level that you're not going to eat so that you can focus on prayer. While they were doing that, the Holy Spirit said,
set apart.
The word there, set apart, your translation might use the word appoint, to separate, or to select from a group of people. This is a point in time event that is commanded by the Holy Spirit to the church corporately. If you are part of our church, it would be like Him saying to you, I want you to do something today. Set apart. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Wait a second, they're solid people. What do you want us to do with those people? For the work to which I have called them. Interesting, the calling had already happened in the life of Paul and Barnabas. We see a little glimpse at it, I believe, a few chapters earlier in Acts, where Jesus says, Saul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name, the name of Jesus, before the Gentiles. God has showed up in a special way, powerful way, to this man who was persecuting the church. He wasn't like this person you would think Jesus would pick for his team. He was like the enemy on the other side. But he shows up, he picks Saul, who became Paul, and he says, you're a chosen instrument of mine. Not became Paul, he was also called Saul and Paul. My name before the Gentiles. So what happens? What happens? He says, I want you to set them apart for the calling I have on their life. Okay, so if you're taking notes today, how do we share Jesus in McKinney and Acts 1:8 on the other side of the world? Well, here's the point. We need to set apart churches. If you're part of the church, this is you. Set apart to send to the end of the earth. We set apart to send to. Now, next verse, we're going to see more of what this looks like. Then after, again, fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now, where are they going? If you keep reading, you're going to see that they're going on the first missionary trip ever launched in the Bible to the ends of the earth. They're going to go to Cyprus. The first story is in Cyprus. They go and they try to share Jesus with the Jews. The Jews say no. They face persecution and opposition. So often happens as missionaries go, face opposition. And then there's this Roman proconsul, this leader in Rome, who decides, wait a second, not just decides, I think the Spirit of God was working in and through their life as they were witnesses. And he says, Jesus is the Savior of the world. He places his faith in Jesus. And God is glorified. We see story after story of the glory of God being advanced to the ends of the earth. The glory of God being advanced to the ends of the earth on their missionary trip. He sent them off. Well, how do they do it? Well, so if we're wrestling apart with a set apart to send out, what the text tells us the early church did, and we believe that all of us are to be part of, what does that look like? Well, notice he says, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands, probably wasn't during COVID, but God used fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. In a few weeks, we're going to be jumping into our series. The artist formerly known as Transform Your World has become Beyond. We're going to call it Beyond, as God is going to lead us continually as a church and has for the 148-year history of our church to do missions not just here, but beyond our walls. What does that look like? Well, we've been encouraging you, each of the last few years anyway, that God wants you, if you're part of the church, God wants you to be part of those bodies that are on the platform right now in Kathmandu that never knew Jesus getting pushed off into the water. God wants you, even if you're called to be a McKinney, to be part of it on some level. How? Well, pray this week. Our MLT, Mission Leadership Team, our executive committee, spent time prayer and fasting over the family that we're going to bring up here in just a second. Give. We talked about Rainbow Mike just a minute ago. And your sacrificial giving, your overflowing generosity last year. You gave above and beyond our budget to Transform Your World, and we were able to see God work in so many amazing ways. As you give, where? Not just here, around the world. And then go. I do believe in this room today, our people, all of us, I believe, should go on a short-term trip. It's impacted my life in huge ways. Even thinking back this morning with you on a short-term trip, I want for all of you to have the experience of going where the gospel is not as prevalent as it is here. And letting God use it. I want all of you, but I do believe that some of you in the room today, that God is going to call, not just to a short-term trip, but to literally go to the other side of the planet. Now, Bobby Waite is here in the room. Bobby leads our mission leadership team here in our church. And we have a family that I've grown to know and love over the last few years, the Taylors, who are going to come up and share with you their story. Now, this is super exciting for me. Carrie and I actually got to serve together at camp years ago. Matt is a man that loves Jesus. They're going to come up front with their family and tell us what God is doing, and we're going to get to be part of what He's doing on the other side of the planet.
Good morning, First McKinney. I met Matt and Carrie a couple of years ago. They've joined our church about 3 years ago. They've been a part of us. I've fallen in love with them. And this morning, and many of you already know them and are a part of their lives, but I'd want all of us to know and love Matt and Carrie. So this morning, I want them to tell you a little bit about their story that brought them to this point, including introducing us to these two beautiful young ladies.
So my name is Carrie, and this is Malin. She is 7. This is Everly, and she is 5. And this is my wonderful husband, Matthew. And the Lord has called us to full-time missions with Mission Regan in Zambia, and we are super excited about going. But let me share with you a little bit about what brought us to this point. We grew up doing short-term mission trips with youth groups, and in 2007, before my husband and I met, I was in Benin, West Africa, and clearly heard the Lord calling me to full-time missions at some point in my life. But the beautiful thing is that at the same time I was in Benin, West Africa, my husband was actually in Nicaragua, and the Lord was calling him to full-time missions at some point in his life. And so when we met a year later, we actually talked about, because that's like a deal breaker, you know, if like you meet and you're like, well, I want to do missions, but you don't, that's like a deal breaker. But anyways, the long and the short of it is we definitely felt like the Lord was, at some point in our lives, we kind of felt like the Lord was on our plans. You know, we make our plans, but the Lord determines his steps, that whole verse, you know. And we felt that we would eventually do retiring into the mission field. And we're not retired yet, because I ain't that old. And so we actually came to a place in our lives where we, a couple years ago, felt like God was asking us to sell our house and become completely debt-free, because we did sort of an FPU, Financial Peace University. And so the Lord provided a rent house that was fully furnished, and so we sold pretty much almost everything we owned. It was just following the steps of the Lord that was put before us. And 3 years ago, ended up at First McKinney and was introduced to Josh and Courtney Willis, who serve with Mission Regan. It's an incredible organization. And my husband went to Zambia on a short-term medical mission trip. I'm a registered nurse. My husband is a nurse practitioner with a lot of amazing skill sets. And so he came home and said, babe, we're moving to Zambia. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, what? I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm running a nonprofit, and it was an anti-human trafficking nonprofit. And so it was just kind of one of those things that the Lord just had to work the details out, because the truth is we're moving to Zambia, and God knew it. He just had to stir in my heart the timing. But a year later, in 2019, I ended up in Zambia because the hand of God moved me there. And so we are moving to Zambia, because God told us and God called us there. So there's a really awesome phrase that I know Pine Cove tells. It says, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. So we're going because God's equipped the called, okay. Not of us.
And tell us, Matt, a little bit more about God's story here.
So the main reason for all of this is really faith and obedience. I mean, God is true. His precepts are true. His promises are true. And he has orchestrated just the perfect plan for our lives, starting from just the professions that we chose, myself moving from a point of management into a clinical setting of medicine, my wife, choosing to serve with anti-human trafficking. He has just melded our lives together in such a way that there's not a clearer path for us. It's very obvious what he has built, and it comes down to trusting in him and being obedient. The more that you pray, the more that you get into the Word, the more you're going to hear his calling. And at that point, it really comes down to, are you going to obey what he says, what he calls you to do? And we have not been the best obeyers. We were reluctant to sell our house. We were reluctant to do a lot of things. But in the end, he won over our hearts, because he said, if you do what I ask you to do, you are going to have joy and peace abundant in your life. And he has certainly done that. I have the first part of a hymn that I really love. It really creates a perfect picture and a summary of our lives, written by Elsie Duncan Yale, over the verse John 4:35. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do.
Hallelujah. And so tell us what you plan to do when you get to Zambia.
Yeah, so the Mission Regan is, there's a plan to build a medical clinic there, and the means in which we're doing that is to serve the people in Zambia. So the medical clinic is going to be built out of shipping containers, and our family will live above the medical clinic. And the whole goal is to win the hearts of the people, to meet their physical needs, to bring them and draw them in, to learn the language, empower the local people. We will have job opportunities. The medical clinic will provide approximately 8 to 10 jobs to empower the local people, and then to share, obviously, the good news and the hope and love of Jesus Christ. We are going to be there for 3 years. Our hearts are that if these two beautiful girls are going to, or if they're going to do well, our hearts are in it for the long haul. We truly believe that the Lord has called us. We've had a calling on our life from early on. And so our hearts are that we would be there for the long haul. So we genuinely believe that we want to build those relationships for the long haul, and so that we can share the good news of Jesus and teach obedience.
And last, how can the body of Christ, known as First McKinney, support you?
It's right there. Pray, give, and go. So prayers is really important. We cannot do what God is asking Mission Regan Zambia to do, what God has asked us to do, and just what God is asking through the power of the Holy Spirit you to do, to join us and partner with us to do. The people of Zambia need you. We need you. Mission Regan needs you. So this is truly a partnership of prayer, first and foremost. So there is an enemy who is ready to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we genuinely want prayers of a partnership. So if you have a pen, could you please take it out? And could you please write the Taylor family on there? And could you please write Mission Regan, Zambia? And could you please write the Zambian people? And so just prayer, fervent prayer. We really have felt spiritual warfare already. It's already starting, and so just pray. The third thing is give. You can go to the Mission Regan website, Mission Regan Zambia Clinic. There's a tab. You can donate there. God is a provider. We know that. As we stand here, God has abundantly blessed, and so please, if you just feel led through the power of the Holy Spirit to just give, we would be grateful for that. And then go, we will be there. So come and join us. And just like Sam said, it truly is a life-changing thing to go into a third world country and see things that your eyes will be shocked and rocked at. There are people who need Jesus, and there are people who need physical needs met. And your hands, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what we are called to do. And so please come. We will be there. And so we would love to see your beautiful faces.
Thank you. And so we are going to practice what Sam just told us about from the Word of God. We are going to pray over Matt and Carrie and their girls as they go to Zambia. And I encourage you to follow these instructions. Pray for them. As God leads you, give. And when the opportunity arises, and it will, that you take that opportunity to go.
So cool.
Okay. Over here. This is awesome. This is awesome. We now, as a church body, are getting to be part this morning of what God's doing on the other side of the planet. Y'all see that? Okay. I'm going to ask the Taylors to step down this way, and then we have some that are already in their close circle of influence that are going to come forward, put a hand for some obvious reasons. We're not going to get everyone in the room to touch them right now, but some that are already close to them are going to come up and touch them, and as well as our mission leadership team is going to come forward, and our executive committee, those that are in the room right now, and we are going to pray. And as we pray, I want to invite you out there to, again, with us, pray. Pray over them. That's what the church did in Antioch. That's what we get to do in McKinney this morning. So I want to invite you to put a hand this direction. Put a hand out, all right, towards them. And I want you to join me as we pray. God, you said through your son Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. You said through your son Jesus that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we'll be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And God, we know and we've seen in the Taylor's life the power of the Holy Spirit. We know it's there. But Father, we're praying this morning a unique empowering to the calling that you've given them. That we're praying for Matt and Carrie, the Holy Spirit would be on their lives, for Malin and Everly, that they would know the Jesus that changes everything. And Father, we thank you that you've chosen to use us in your plan to save the world. And we pray that you would do what they cannot do on their own strength in and through their life. That you would not just call people, but that you'd equip the called through the Holy Spirit. God, we also pray what Paul, again, that first missionary we talked about this morning, asked the church to pray over him. We pray that you would open up doors for the gospel. And we pray that when Matt and Carrie and Malin and Everly open their mouth, words would be given to them, that they would fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, and that they would proclaim it boldly as they should. And then, Father, for us as their sending church, thank you that we get to be just a part of what you're doing on the other side of the planet. And, Father, we pray that you prompt us to continue to pray, that you prompt us to continue to give, and that, Father, maybe people in this room would go and see what you're doing there. God, do what again, they can't for your glory. Use them. Use them for your glory and your purposes. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Super cool. All right. As people are filing off the stage, I'm going to come right over here, and I'm going to ask Tammy, what have you written for us?
So, I told a story through words instead of pictures, and with God being at the center of everything that we do, as God's children, we are all set apart in some way, and whether you are called to be sent like the Taylors, maybe not, we can all pray, and when we all do that, and we are focused on him as the center of our lives, the glory just shoots out of everything you do.
It's awesome. Yes.
Super cool. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tammy.